Listening Library presents Beyond Platform 13 by Eva Ibbotson and Shebale Pounder. Read for you by Sean Thomas. Prologue. No one noticed the young woman in bright blue boots walking along the platform at Vienna Central Station. I suppose you could argue she was easy to miss. Just an average-height teenager with a long black bob and mismatched eyes of green and brown. She had always hated how human she looked, but even she had to admit it came in useful sometimes. A man with a face as angry as crumpled paper was the only one to spot her. She was in his way, so he barged straight into her as if the platform belonged more to him than it did to her.
"Watch where you're going, lady," he shouted as they collided.
Odge Gribble didn't break her stride as she turned and said, "It's Hag, actually." Chapter 1. Lena Lasky. Lena Lasky believed in almost every kind of magic. She believed in wizard spells and witches' potions, and sometimes even in the people who pull rabbits out of hats, depending on the party. She saw mermaids in her dreams and trolls dancing with vegetables. Once, when daydreaming, she'd imagined the fluffiest of mystical creatures, plump like a little pillow, with a whiskery nose and huge black eyes. A little bit like a seal, only without the flippers. She'd immediately refashioned her pom-pom backpack to look just like her vision. All her friends had stopped believing in magic long ago, but that's the thing about magic. It's only real if you believe in it. Though Lena didn't know it, the things she imagined were very real, even the trolls dancing with vegetables. If magical creatures are real, then they must be hiding somewhere, Lena said to her mother and father one day over breakfast. There's no better time to discuss magic than over some good cereal or toast. A hairy hag or a fairy wouldn't be able to blend in, so they must all be somewhere else. A place we haven't found yet. Of course, her parents barely listened. Adults rarely do when you speak of magic. The more wrinkles a person has, the less tolerance they have for things like that. They want proof. "We have a surprise," her father said, trying to change the subject. "We're taking you to see your aunt in Salzburg for your birthday. A whole long weekend, all of us together." Lena's mother grinned as she handed over the train tickets. "Surprise! Oh, and I'm almost positive that your aunt's neighbour is a hag," she added, hoping to sweeten the deal.
"That's a terrible thing to say about Mrs. Frampton," her father scoffed.
"It's a huge compliment, actually," Lena corrected him. "I would do anything to meet a hag. They can grow hair out of their ears and tell the weather with their eyelashes, or at least that's what the stories say. I'd say Mrs. Frampton's more of a witch, though."
"Oh, really, Lena," her mother laughed. "Your imagination is something else."
Lena paused, her fork hovering over her plate. She did occasionally worry she might be wrong.
"Right, come on, Lena," her father said. "Grab your seal backpack."
"It's a magical being," Lena said, hugging her backpack defensively. "Of course, magical being," her mother said with a small smile. Her father took her plate away and pulled out her chair.
"Come on, you magical being, or we'll miss our train."
Lena grabbed her backpack from the car boot and slung it over her shoulder. She'd teamed it with a chunky jumper, jeans, and her favourite silver trainers. She didn't like the station at that time in the morning. It smells of coffee and damp hair.
"Your mother has taken time off work, especially for your birthday, Lena," her father whispered. "Try to be a little more enthusiastic."
Lena dragged her feet along the platform, and then she saw her, just up ahead, a teenager in bright blue boots. Lena watched as a man rudely barged into her. But then the most peculiar thing happened. He bounced off her as though she were nothing but bones and magic. The teenager turned and mouthed something at the man, something that looked a lot like... "Hag!" Lena shouted, and then everything went black. Chapter 2 Magdalena. There was a finger click, and the lights came back on.
"Where's everyone gone?"
Lena cried, staring down the empty platform. The hag looked confused. "What do you mean, where's everyone gone?"
"The people," Lena spluttered. "My parents."
"You brought your parents on a secret royal mission?" the hag asked with a raised eyebrow. "Well, I suppose you are young. Much younger than I thought you'd be, actually."
"Are they gone forever?" Lena asked, suddenly feeling very worried.
The hag looked up Lena's nose.
"Are you unwell? Have you got the dribbly riblets, the spotted tongue munch flu, terror tib-toms?"
Lena stared at her, completely bewildered, before eventually replying,
"I hope not."
"I used lost laces," the hag explained, holding up some shimmering silver laces. "All I had to do was give them a little pull, and we became invisible to everyone, and everyone became invisible to us. They're all still here, we just can't see them, and they can't see us."
Lena watched as a coffee cup sailed past her head.
"The less the humans see, the better. It's safer if we keep this meeting a secret. I'm sure you'll agree. The laces don't last long, bit of a gimmick, really. That old witch who likes to sunbathe with the mutant mermaids on our island invented them. I think her mermaid friends were annoyed that she spent so long inventing a magic product they could never use."
"Oh," Lena said, "because mermaids don't have feet and have no need for shoes or laces. I get it."
The hag scrunched up her face.
"No, mutant mermaids do have feet. That's what makes them mutant. They were annoyed because they have fins for hands, so they can't tie shoelaces. Anyway, don't worry about the temporary vanishing nature of the lost laces. Hans, my ogre friend, is bringing the stronger stuff for the big journey later, so you'll be completely hidden."
She eyed Lena's backpack.
"Ben is going to be so pleased to meet you. When I sent you the letter, things were bad, but now they're even worse."
Lena stared at the hag.
"Ben? Letter?"
But the hag wasn't listening.
"Time to go. Magdalena is collecting us. I told her we could walk, but she insisted. I'm sure her reputation precedes her here in Vienna."
Lena nodded slowly, though she had no idea who the hag was talking about.
"Yes, I've heard Magdalena is a very funny woman."
"Funny?" the hag laughed. "You're a scream. She's bossy and sometimes terrifying, and she's certainly not a woman. Now, hold on, please. It's going to get rocky."
She offered Lena her arm. Lena grabbed hold of it, bewildered and half expecting the ground to explode and some sort of wondrous troll woman to burst from the floor. But it wasn't that at all. A tiny, ghostly carriage, no bigger than a cat, and pulled by two aged ghost pigeons, squeaked along the platform slowly, before eventually grinding to a halt in front of them.
"I'm just messing with you," the hag said, patting Lena's back. "You don't need to hold on. Magdalena's tiny."
A ghost rat wearing a chunky pearl necklace poked her head out the carriage door.
"Hello, Odge. Still no ear hair or warts, I see."
The hag shrugged.
"I live in hope."
She took the ghost rat's paw in her hand and stroked it with her thumb. Her bright blue nail polish matched her boots perfectly.
"It's good to see you, Magdalena. It's been too long."
Lena stumbled backward in disbelief and tripped over a suitcase.
"Oh, that's my case," Odge said, grabbing it and throwing it into the carriage.
It shrank down to just the right size and slotted neatly inside. Stunned, Lena grabbed a floating cup of coffee and downed it. She knew adults drank coffee to wake up, so maybe it would shake her out of this strange dream. It just made her feel a bit sick. Odge leaned down and stared into the carriage.
"Plenty of room for us."
"It's rat-sized," Lena cried. "There's no room for us at all."
Magdalena looked down her nose at Lena.
"Are you sure she's the right one?"
Odge swiveled Lena round and showed Magdalena her backpack.
"Positive."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?